wrong day. Good fellow. Told me about the battle, the great war between heaven and hell. It was him that told me the inner secrets of the Witchfinder army. Familiar spirits, nipples, all that. Knew he was dying, you see. Got to have someone to carry on the tradition. Like you is now. He shook his head. That's what we were reduced to, lad, he said. A few hundred years ago, see, we was powerful. We stood between the world and the darkness. We was the thin red line. Thin red line of fire, you see.
I thought the churches, Newt began.
Pah, said Chadwell. Newt had seen the word in print, but this was the first time he'd ever heard anyone say it. Churches? What good are they ever do? They'm just as bad. Same line of business, nearly. You can't trust them to stamp out the evil one, because if they did, they'd be out of that line of business. If you're going up against a tiger, you don't want fellow travellers whose idea of hunting is to throw meat at it. Nay, lad, it's up to us. Against the darkness.
Everything went quiet for a moment. Newt always tried to see the best in everyone, but it had occurred to him shortly after joining the WA that his superior and only fellow soldier was as well balanced as an upturned pyramid. Shortly, in this case, meant under 5 seconds. The WA's headquarters was a fetid room with walls the colour of nicotine, which was almost certainly what they were coated with, and a floor the colour of cigarette ash, which was almost certainly what it was. There was a small square of carpet. Newt avoided walking on it if possible, because it sucked at his shoes. One of the walls had a yellowing map of the British Isles tacked to it, with homemade flags sticking in it here and there. Most of them were within a cheap day return fare of London. But Newt had stuck with it the past few weeks because, well, horrified fascination had turned into horrified pity and then a sort of horrified affection. Shadwell had turned out to be about 5 feet high and wore clothes which, no matter what they actually were, always turned up, even in your short-term memory, as an old Macintosh. The old man may have had all his own teeth, but only because no one else could possibly have wanted them. Just one of them, placed under the pillow, would have made the tooth fairy hand in its wand. He appeared to live entirely on sweet tea, condensed milk, hand-rolled cigarettes, and a sort of sullen internal energy. Shadwell had a cause, which he followed with the full resources of his soul and his pensioner's concessionary travel pass. He believed in it. It powered him like a turbine. Newton Pulsifer had never had a cause in his life, nor had he, as far as he knew, ever believed in anything. It had been embarrassing because he quite wanted to believe in something, since he recognised that belief was the life belt that got most people through the choppy waters of life. He'd have liked to believe in a supreme god, although he'd have preferred a half-hour's chat with him before committing himself to clear up one or two points. He'd sat in all sorts of churches, waiting for that single flash of blue light, and it hadn't come. And then he tried to become an official atheist and hadn't got the rock-hard, self-satisfied strength of belief even for that. And every single political party had seemed to him equally dishonest. And he'd given up on ecology when the ecology magazine he'd been subscribing to had shown its readers a plan of a self-sufficient garden and had drawn the ecological goat tethered within 3 feet of the ecological beehive. Newt had spent a lot of time at his grandmother's house in the country and thought he knew something about the habits of both goats and bees and concluded, therefore, that the magazine was run by a bunch of bib-overalled maniacs. Besides, it used the word community too often. Newt had always suspected that people who regularly used the word community were using it in a very specific sense that excluded him and everyone he knew. Then he'd tried believing in the universe, which seemed sound enough until he'd innocently started reading new books with words like chaos and time and quantum in the titles. He'd found that even the people whose job of work was, so to speak, the universe, didn't really believe in it and were actually quite proud of not knowing what it really was or even if it could theoretically exist. To Newt's straightforward mind, this was intolerable. Newt had not believed in the Cub Scouts, and then, when he was old enough, not in the Scouts either. He was prepared to believe, though, that the job of wages clerk at the United Holdings Holdings PLC was possibly the most boring in the world. This is how Newton Pulsifer looked as a man. If he went into a phone booth and changed, he might manage to come out looking like Clark Kent. But he found he rather liked Shadwell. People often did, much to Shadwell's annoyance. The Rajits liked him because he always eventually paid his rent and didn't cause any trouble, and was racist in such a glowering, undirected way that it was quite inoffensive. It was simply that Shadwell hated everyone in the world, regardless of caste, colour or creed, and wasn't going to make any exceptions for anyone. Madame Tracy liked him,